Turning your Bibles, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. I found this on the floor of the staff restroom a while ago. It's got on Bob Miller's stationery here. It says, there was a pastor who cut himself shaving one Sunday morning, but a Band-Aid and put a Band-Aid on it. After a long sermon while shaking hands, now I didn't preach long this morning, not too long anyway. After a long sermon while shaking hands, a lady asked what happened to his face. He said, while I was shaving, I was concentrating on my message and cut my face. She said, you should have concentrated on your shaving and cut your message. I don't know where Bob left that for me to read back there or not, but that's pretty cute anyway. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Paul here in these verses is giving some principles on how to deal with money in our life, or maybe the lack of it, whatever's the problem there. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless His Word to our hearts. Father, we thank You for this good day that You've given us. Thank You for Your blessings upon our lives. And thank You that You're real to Your children. Thank You for salvation in and by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You that the peace He gives a born-again heart to know that everything is okay and we're on our way to heaven in spite of the devil and the flesh and the world. We thank You that we're secure in Him tonight. And Father, I pray You'd bless Thy Word to our hearts tonight. Keep Your hand on our church. Keep us true to Thee. Keep the devil out. Keep us, Lord, exalting Jesus and trying to win others to Him. And just keep magnifying Him around Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Lord, help us to get some principles now from Thy Word to help us along the way. And if those here, Lord, carrying a heavy burden, those outside of the will of God, those outside the family of God, I pray that the Holy Spirit will convict them tonight and they may come to this altar and do business with the Holy God before they leave here. And dear, blessed Holy Spirit, magnify Christ in this service. Anoint me as a preacher, anoint these who hear, and may, Lord, eternal business be done in this place tonight. May we be fed from Your Word by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, Lord, help me as I preach and defeat the devil in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. And amen. Now, you know I've told you many times that I grew up a poor boy, but the only thing about being poor when I was a boy, everybody else was poor too. Everybody's poor. Just about it, there's a few, just a very, very few rich dudes around. Everybody's in the same boat back down in Saudi, Tennessee when I was a boy. But I had enough to eat. You can tell by looking at me, I had missed too many meals. And most of you hadn't either. You can tell by looking at you. Not looking at anybody in particular, though. But I had a good bed to sleep in. And something to wear. And a house, at least. I had shelter. And we were happy, in spite of having not much. And the Lord called me to preach between my junior and senior years in high school. Then I went down to Mississippi to play ball, and I probably would have never gone to school, didn't have the money to go to school if I hadn't gone to play ball. And so the Lord used football to get me into college, or I may have never gone to college. I don't know. We didn't have it. But we didn't have all the You know, I'm just thinking about 50, 60. We today, the average, or our poor people today, live better than kings lived 50, 60 years ago. Do you know that? I'm just thinking, we didn't have all the fineries that all the homes have today, just about it. We didn't have air conditioning. In fact, my mother is 84 years old and only put air conditioning a year or two ago. She never would have had it. And we had an old ice box, didn't have a modern electrical refrigerator, didn't have a bathtub, running water, indoor outhouse, radio, phone, television. We didn't have any of that. And my first 18 years of my life. Now, we got, when I was about 8 or 9 years old, we got our first radio. Boy, I thought that was great. And then I believe, as I look back, I believe now we might have got a refrigerator before I left home, but that's about it. I mean, our modern conveniences was a radio and a refrigerator. I mean, that we were getting uptown. I thought first time we put this old siding on the house, I thought, brother, we were really getting up in society now. And I doubt if my dad, as I've said before, ever made over $40 to $50 in his life in a week. And my dad was killed in a car wreck in 59. He never drove a car. We walked everywhere we went. But you say, preacher, did you resent being poor like that? No, I wasn't bitter, didn't feel deprived, and I'm not ashamed of my background. I thank God that I was born in a poor home with parents that were saved and believed the Bible and believed in the old-time religion. If I'd have been born in a wealthy home with carnal parents or unregenerate parents, I would probably be as lost as a goose tonight. And probably, I'm sure, I wouldn't have been standing here a fundamental God-called preacher if I hadn't had mom and dad who loved God and believed in getting born again and believed in living right. And I'm glad I saw as a young person that happiness was not in money, wealth, nice cars, beautiful homes, fine clothes, and all those things. Because, see, I'd lived many, many years before I even had a car, even had a good job or anything. And I was happy in the Lord. God called me and has already used me to win souls. So I found out long before I started drawing a regular salary that was happiness was in Jesus Christ. All that I need is in Jesus. Now, every Christian has some areas where they're vulnerable. And you know one thing about it? My strengths may not be your strengths. And my weaknesses may not be your weaknesses. Some things that might be a problem with me may not be no problem with you. And you know, the devil doesn't hit any of us at our strengths. He hits us at our weaknesses. And the Lord knows the areas where we're vulnerable. We usually, if we'll admit it, we know them. And the devil certainly knows our areas of vulnerability. For instance, I've never been tempted to drink. I grew up around drunkards, and to me, it's a bunch of slop. I don't see how anybody take the junk. And I've never been tempted to, well, I smoked a little bit back, a few draws back when I was a boy, just see what it's like, but I've always hated the smell of cigarettes. I tried to smoke an old cigar one time and got deathly sick. Goodness gracious. I vomited and went home, and I didn't want to tell my mom I'd been smoking a cigar. I said, Harry Mills worked me too hard up there. Rena got sick. Lord, forgive me that. He's already gone now, and I lied on that man. I'm not tempted to take drugs. I think a person is absolutely nuts to let a chemical substance destroy them. I mean, they're nuts. You're nuts if you eat. Listen, you ought to just stay away from it completely. Reggie Cobb, wasn't that tragic, that great back Tennessee head? Boy, they needed him yesterday, didn't they? I don't know where that would have been. If he'd have been there, he has done any good or not, but that's tragic. It's tragic. And since Paul is dealing with money here, I can honestly say that money is not, has never been a, it's always, it's a problem with everybody, but never been a major problem with me, problem area. Now, most of us have some problem with money. We all, but my wife can tell you, money is not my God. And my secretary can tell you that Even though church pays me well, I'm not consumed by money. And it's just, I guess the Lord showed me long before ever to have got a job, and I was happy and satisfied with just what I had. And I try to spend the church's money the best way I can, and God's blessed our financial program. The Lord doesn't bother me with temptation to liquor and cigarettes, drugs, money, and or not too much with money. It's like maybe you, every now and then the devil may, just like as I grow older, security of the future. The devil wants to sometimes, how are you going to make it in the future? How are you going to live in the future? And here, but there are some areas where I am vulnerable. And just like there are certain areas you are vulnerable. The Lord knows these, and I know them. I had a little success in sports in high school and college, and I remember when someone would come to the house, or if I'd have a date a girl, I'd want to show her my press clippings. And I know the Lord convicted, after I started preaching, I'd want to show people my scrapbook. And the Lord convicted me of that, and one day I took all that book of press clippings and threw them in the fire. I wish I hadn't have done that now. I wish you never believe it, unless I can show you those things. But anyway, that helped me a little bit in the area of pride. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and confess all the other areas of my weaknesses. Now, boy, you'd like to know, wouldn't you? The phones would be hot this week if I'd confess them to you. But I told you, I think, before about the three preachers out fishing. And they, sitting there fishing, wasn't biting too much. And so they decided to confess their weakness. That Roman Catholic preacher, he said, I hate to confess this, but he said, women's one of my weaknesses. He said, now, you know, we have the, take the oath not marry, but he said, women is my weakness. He said, it's just my weakness. And the Jewish rabbi, he said, well, I hate to admit this, but he said, I like a good piece of ham meat every now and then. And that Baptist preacher sitting over there, he said, well, now you confess, what's your weakness? He said, I'm the biggest gossip, and I just can't wait till I get back home. So, but anyway, Paul, in writing to young Timothy, give some principles concerning money, and if we as believers can be aware of the dangers of in relative to money, it can keep us from being destroyed. So we need to pay attention to these principles God gives in His Word through the Apostle Paul concerning money. First of all, in verse 6, the first principle, and we all need to learn this, money does not bring happiness. Money does not, the perverted attitude we saw last Sunday night in verse 5, where the false prophets, false teachers, would teach that gain is godliness. And it is not gain, is not godliness. And prosperity doesn't mean God that you're godly. It doesn't mean that God's blessing you. And the opposite is true. Godliness verse 6. Godliness means God-likeness. God-likeness. Godliness is gain. Look over at chapter 4, verse 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is. I mean, brother, if you're a godly person, God will bless you in this life. The life that now is, God's going to bless you, and of that which is to come. So Paul is saying there in verse 8 of chapter 4 that godliness is profitable for all things. And then here in chapter 6, verse 6, he adds contentment to godliness and said godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, I'm told this word contentment in the Greek is used only one other time. So there's two times it's used in the Greek, in the New Testament, Greek New Testament. In 2 Corinthians 9, 8, it says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye having, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now the word sufficiency comes from the same Greek word that contentment comes from. That's interesting, isn't it? Contentment, godliness, and sufficiency. Godliness and contentment. So if we're content, that means we feel that God's taking care of it. Everything is sufficient. Everything is okay. So here is what a Christian ought to say. I'm saved. I have enough. I have all God wants me to have. And I'm satisfied. Now, folks, if God wanted us to have better health or better situation or more money or bigger house or more things of this world, then don't you think if we're saved, God could give them to us? So Paul said in Philippians 4:11, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now, in order to be content, you first got to be saved and then completely surrendered to the Lord and trying to please Him with your life. Then, folks, after we're saved and surrendered to Jesus Christ and to His will for our life, then we need to be satisfied with God's will for our life, whatever it is, whatever it is. Just, I think one of the keys to life is just be content right where we are, right where we are. And God has power to change situation, doesn't He? God can change my situation and your situation. He has power to do it. So we ought to look up and say, Lord, thank You. Thank You. The problem you're going through with, you ought to say, Lord, thank You. Lord, now, if You want to change it, I know You can. You're able, but Lord, just give me the grace. Just give me the grace. And we need to learn that contentment is just being satisfied right where you are with what God's doing right now for you, and just wanting to be in the center of His will. Then in verse 7, another principle about money is temporal. That is, it's not lasting. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. Now in simple terms, let me tell you what the Holy Ghost, I believe, led Paul to say in this verse. First of all, you came into this world as naked as a jaybird. And more than likely you had no teeth when you came into this world. More than likely you didn't have much hair, if any, when you came. You know that's about the way you're going to leave this world too. Mine's bailing out on me. So far my teeth are in pretty good shape. But you didn't have your checkbook in one hand and your savings book in the other hand and your fat wallet in your back pocket when you came to this world, did you? No. And God's saying that's exactly the way you're going out. You're going out. You will leave terra firma the same way you came into it. We were empty-handed when we came here, folks, and we're going to be empty-handed when we leave. And you've heard many times, I've had many funerals, and I've never seen any hearse with a U-Haul tied along behind it. Have you? No, you won't. And God says, look at that verse again. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain. It's certain. Now, let that drive. You're not going to take one thing with you when you leave this world. So everything you've got, you're going to lose everything. You're going to leave it all behind. Job 1:21 says, and he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. As Jesus said, you can lay up treasures in heaven. And if you can lay up treasures on the other side, but you cannot. And you can send them on ahead, but you can't take them with you. Then look at verse 8. Here we have another principle concerning money. Food and clothing are really all we really need in this world. Having food and raiment. Some people think that word raiment means covering, which all means clothing and shelter, which is also a necessity. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. And we live in much plenty here in America that we don't know how to appreciate it. I know when you all went down to Santo Domingo, those poor people had nothing, and they were content. They were content. We don't know how to appreciate. We don't know how to appreciate all we have, all the good food. Here we have to watch our diet, watch our calories, and half the world going to bed hungry. But I can't hardly see that. Can you? It's hard to see that so many people go to bed hungry every night. And here we are, we're calorie conscious, and we got a scale we have to step on every day or two, or we'll gain an extra pound or two. And the clothes that we throw away when they get out of style or start getting start fading a little bit, people around the world would love to have the clothes we throw away. And we just take for granted our food and clothing and our homes that God's given us. We sit down at the table and we just dive in a lot of times. And just like a hog, we don't look up to see and to thank God from where the food comes from. So God says in His Word in Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Folks, the Lord has promised to supply His children's needs. Every one of them. Our needs now, not our wants. We have a lot of wants. But He's promised to supply every one of our needs. So here's the way we ought to approach that. We can rest on God's promise that He's going to supply everything we need. And if you're in a situation you need a better situation, you need more money to pay bills, you need more money to get the kids through school, or you need a better health situation, you're going through a trying time with your health, or you need a better home or something like that, you know, we can turn it over to the Lord, and the Lord will give it to us if we need it. If we need it. So when we have a genuine need, if we're saved and living for Jesus Christ, we can take it to the Lord and leave that need with Him, and He'll supply that need. As the song says, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. And He's able to supply our needs. We need to understand. And listen, if the Lord doesn't supply our need that we think is a need, then He must think it's not a need, and we have to trust Him. So, you know the health problem I had back in February with my heart. I thought my ministry's over. And I had to be willing for my ministry to be over to get peace in my heart. And it wasn't easy, and the Lord had to help me look up in His face and say, "Lord, if my ministry is over, if that's Your will, Lord, I accept it." And that's not easy. I couldn't say it in the flesh. I could not say that. The Lord had to help me to say it. So the Lord has promised to supply all of our needs. Then let's look at the wrong attitude toward money in verses 9 and 10. Let's look at verse 9 first. "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition." And verse 9 here, "they that will be rich." Look at the Scofield Center column, the C, their little C. And it's those who have the will to be rich. That is, this means their ambition and their goal, their obsession is to be rich regardless. By hook or crook, I intend to make money. I intend to get rich. Now the Bible doesn't say there's one thing wrong with being rich. Luke 16, the rich man died and went to hell, but he didn't go to hell because he's rich. And the poor man went to heaven, but he didn't go to heaven because he's poor. Because the size of your bank account has nothing to do with your eternal destiny. And what the Word of God is saying here is, when your sole ambition is to get rich, then, brother, when that's your consuming passion, then you're headed for a fall. Then notice three things that covetousness and money hungriness will, those who are covetous and money hungry, that they'll fall into. Three things they fall into. First of all, in verse 9, is they will fall into temptation. They that have a passion, consuming passion to be rich, they'll fall into temptation. What is that temptation? To cut corners and cheat your fellow man and call it just smart business, good business. And then second, those who are covetous and have a consuming desire to get rich, it would not only be a temptation, it would be a snare. When you get to the point where you'll do anything to get rich, the Bible says, brother, you will fall into a snare that will be a trap for you. Now, when I was a boy, we used to make rabbit traps. We'd make a box about yay big, and we'd have the box at the front, we'd have it open, and in the back we'd put a carrot or lettuce or How many have ever made a rabbit trap before? Okay, you know what I'm talking about. And in the right before he got to the lettuce or the cabbage or the carrot, we'd have a little stick sticking down from the hole. And as he got to that carrot, he saw that carrot, and as he got to it, he'd rub that stick, he'd get the carrot, but he didn't realize when he bumped that stick, the trap went down on him in the back. And the Bible says an overwhelming desire to get rich is a trap. Then a third thing, they will fall into foolish and hurtful lust, a consuming desire to be rich. That is a consuming passion of your soul. And that's caused many a person to lose their health and their wife, their family, and it sent a lot of people to prison. And women, it causes women to sell their bodies. Recently in the stock market crash a couple of years ago, some who lost everything they had went out and blew their brains out. God's Word says the will or the passion to be rich will drown men in destruction and perdition. Then look at verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, we've all heard that misquoted many times, haven't we? They'll say, well, money's the root of all evil. No, that's not true. Money's not the root of all. It's the love of money that is the root of all. When you fall in love with money and you become infatuated with money, God says you're in bad shape. And when some people get so possessed with a love for money that they'll do anything to make a dollar. Now, again, let me say this, that as I said a while ago, the Bible does not condemn being rich. I've known some fine Christians who the Lord allowed to be rich, but their money didn't possess them. They possessed the money. That's a big difference. And you know, I've known poor people who, brother, all they thought about was making a dollar. And the money, the love for money, had gripped them. Now, Paul says here in verse 10 that the love of money will do two things to you. First of all, it'll destroy you spiritually. It will cause you, look at God's Word there, it will cause you to err from the faith. I've known good Christians. They were faithful to God, had a testimony, on fire for God, and then they started prospering. And before you knew it, they were dropping out of church, and they had lost out spiritually, and they had been sidetracked spiritually. You know, the worst thing in the world could happen to most of us is we'd become rich. Now, you'd like to take a chance shot at it anyway, wouldn't you? But it probably is the worst thing that happened to most of us, become rich. And we'd get our eyes off the Lord. We'd become earthbound, and we'd get our eyes off heaven. And I want to keep my mind on Jesus, don't you? And I want to keep my mind on heaven. And folks, when someone who is rich, that could cause them to err from the faith if they have that love and consuming passion for money and more money and more money. And as one rich man said, he was asked, how much money would you be satisfied with? And he said, just a little bit more. And that's it. It's just a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. Then second, this love for money, infatuation for money, being consumed with it, will bring many sorrows. That word pierced there means from one end, pierced from one end to another, like a meat on a spit. You pierce it through cook the meat. And then, how many have ever had shish kebab? How many ever had a shish kebab? You like them? I've only had one or two. They're pretty good. But you know, they come through with that pierced all the way through. And that's exactly what God is talking about here in His Word. That God is saying an unholy, consuming love for money will pierce you through with sorrows just like meat on a spit or meat on when they bring it to you on the plate in a shish kebab. It's piercing. You'll be full of sorrows, the Word of God says, from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. Now we need to see, folks, that money and cars and home and clothes and good health, all that does not bring contentment and happiness. Contentment is found only in Jesus Christ. Only in Jesus true joy and true peace and true contentment can be found. So, Christian, if you're saved and not contented, you ought to come to this altar and turn your life over to Christ and say, Lord, I want your will for my life, whatever it is, whatever it is. And folks, we need to just quit reaching out for more and more and more and more. And we ought to learn to be satisfied, to be right in the will of God for our lives. That will bring contentment. And if you're unsaved, you're not content. You cannot be content. Because the Bible says in Isaiah 57, verse 20 and 21, but the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. But if you want real peace, a wonderful peace, let Jesus come into your heart. Hallelujah. I'm glad years ago, as a poor boy, that I found peace and contentment in Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for prayer. The greatest thing in the world, folks, is contentment and peace. I mean, you can have everything of this world's goods, but if you don't have inward contentment and inward peace, oh, you're a miserable person. And we can only find real contentment and real peace, first of all, in getting to know Christ personally as our Lord and Savior. And then finding His will and being satisfied with being in the will of God for our lives. That's the only true peace and joy and contentment, is being in the will of God for our lives and being satisfied with the will of God. Maybe you're here tonight, you don't have that inward peace and contentment that Paul is talking about here. You ought to come to this altar, do business with the Lord tonight. If you're not saved, you ought to come and get saved. If you're a Christian, you don't have that contentment, maybe you're out of the will of God. Maybe you need to come and talk to the Lord about it and get back in His precious will. Let's just keep our heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's sing, "All to Jesus I Surrender," Brother Garrett. And if the Lord is speaking to your heart tonight, and you need to come, say, "Preacher, there's something lacking in my life." And you can find it only in Jesus Christ. Maybe you don't want to just come for prayer. Maybe there's a burden on your heart. Maybe there's something you face you need God's help. You want to just come for prayer. Whatever it is, the altar's open. Won't you come? All to Jesus I surrender.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live.
I surrender. Let's quit reaching out for the things of this world. And let's be satisfied to be in the will of God for our lives.
I surrender all.
Just play through softly on the next verse. Others of you, come on. If God's speaking to you, come on. I believe real contentment will come in just what I've been talking about tonight. First of all, in getting saved. And then next, being surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ and His will for your life. Be satisfied
with the will of God for your life. Find it. It'll bring great joy to your heart. Play through softly one more time. If God's speaking to you, come on. You need to come for prayer, whatever it is, come on.